Good morning, y'all. Good morning. Remembrance Day is a very solemn occasion for me and in my family. This is off script a wee bit, but I feel it's important for us to embrace the idea of Remembrance Day. My great-grandfather was killed in World War I in Ypres. My grandfather was shot twice during World War I. He signed up when he was 17. He was shot twice in two different battles. He fought at Vimy Ridge. He was shot through the neck and sent back to Canada. My father and my uncle both fought in World War II. My dad spent most of his time fighting his fellow crewmen. He was in the Navy, and he was an alcoholic, so he got into a lot of fights. He spent time in Preston, England, but I won't get into that right now. But anyway, so war is very unpleasant, and we should really hate war, but it's important to acknowledge that generations ahead of us and in this generation have sacrificed themselves for our good and for our country. And arguably, our identity and our place in the world in Canada was established during World War I. So this is all important stuff. But that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. But I needed to get that out of the way because it was on my heart. We're in the midst of a series on spiritual gifts. And how many people here are comfortable with the idea that they have some spiritual gifting from the Lord? Just show of hands. Okay. Is that like, keep your hands up for a sec? I got to kind of scan around. That's most of us? Yes? Okay, this will be easy today then. Good. And the sermon today is based on 1 Corinthians 12. You can follow along. And most of what I'm going to say is actually just reading scripture today. This is more scripted than I normally do. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. When we define spiritual gifts, we're basically talking about special powers or abilities or just the longing of your heart brought about through interaction with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. These may be what we call sort of lifelong gifts, somebody who manifests a certain sort of ability that's lifelong. Many of us are completely unaware of our spiritual anointing because it's just part of who we are. I'm going to embarrass a lot of people today. If we talk to Danielle has this thing called the gift of mercy, and this is something that resides in her all the time. She cares for people all the time. She cries over people all the time. This is just who she is. She doesn't know that it's a spiritual anointing. That's just her. And then on the other hand, we have these things called gracelets or situational anointings, and this is how the Lord empowers us in the moment, for the moment, for a specific duty or thing. And we see that often in prayer ministry. We see that in Urban Hope. But it could be anything. It could be a gift of service or administration or anything. So on the one hand, we have this kind of tension where people often, I hear this all the time, I want a spiritual gift. I want this thing. But sometimes the most powerful anointing happens in the moment for the moment. And all we need to do is be aware of that. But that's not really the topic of today. That's just sort of some background information. You know, back to scripture, when you were still pagans, how many of us have been pagans at one time in our life? Right? Okay, I sure was. Anybody understand what I mean by pagan? Is that a good term? That's like, I'm not a Christian yet. I don't have a belief system. You were led astray and swept along in worshiping silent idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. This is kind of an odd thought. So everyone just repeat after me. Ready? Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, if you said that, that means the Holy Spirit is working through you. Does that make sense? Is that reasonable? Try it with an atheist sometime, see what happens, then you'll find out. My question, though, is why is Paul telling us this? Why is he saying this? Now, this is the book of 1 Corinthians, which is written to the people of Corinth who had a pantheon of many gods. There was a god for this and a god for that. There was the god worshipped in Corinth, which is a fertility god. So the reason Paul is emphasizing this, and he's going to emphasize it a bit more, is that these were people who, when they needed more wheat, they prayed to this god. When they were unlucky, they prayed to this god. The point is, one God, many gifts. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Many gods, one gift, right? No. Many gifts, one God. One God, many gifts. I said it backwards on purpose because see if I'm listening. Am I listening? Does this caution apply to us today? Why? Yes, it does. Why? There's many gods, there's many godly things, there's many things that we turn to for comfort rather than one God. This is an important consideration for us today. As an example, I was talking to somebody recently who was telling me how, well, when they're lonely, they kind of go to this spirit helper idea. When their finances are in trouble, they will do this kind of thing. And it's like they're seeking this sort of sacrifice on the altar of all these different kind of godlets. One God, many gifts. Anyways, spiritual gifts are given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one is given through the Holy Spirit the gift of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit. To another, by faith, by the same Holy Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these gifts are brought about by one and the same Holy Spirit. Not a company of gods, one God. So, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. And so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are freed slaves. But we all have been baptized into the one body by the one Spirit, and we share that same Spirit. So the analogy here that we're going to beat up on a little bit because I'm following the scripture is the idea that one God, many gifts, the many gifts recombine to show the body of Christ, the church of Christ, many parts of the body. So here's Paul's analogy. Yes, the body has many different parts, as you can see on the slide. Not just one part. If a foot says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye," would that make it any less part of the body? Okay, this is an analogy. So we're actually talking about spiritual gifts, but he's using the analogy of body parts. If the whole body were an eye, how would it hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would it smell anything? I think it's an odd choice of words. Anyways, our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Come on, it's Mr. Potato Head. For those of you at home, the speaker has put a picture of the body parts recombined into a Mr. Potato Head, who looks quite happy to be whole in Christ's name. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. One eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can never say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So I want you all to imagine for a moment the less honorable parts of the body that we all clothe with greater care. I'm sure that some of us can think of two or three. But the idea isn't about embarrassment, it's about vulnerability. So, speaking of spiritual gifts, can we think of people who require special care? And that through the Lord's gifting of compassion, service, we give those people, those parts of the body of Christ, special care. So can you think of people who require special care? Yes? Right? Easy one. Christine, of course, who runs Urban Hope, goes, oh yeah, couple. So here's a challenge to you. Is it possible that those people who require special care are a valuable and critical and important part of the body of Christ? What do you think? In the parable of goats and sheep, what does Jesus say? He says that when you served the least of these, you served me directly. Goats and sheep, the parable, look it up, it's important, it's in the Bible. So this challenges some perceptions or some ideas that have been that have hit me over the years, where in prayer ministry we often get certain people who we like to call river junkies, who are coming up for prayer again and again and again and again for the same problem, and we get frustrated and we go, why can't they just be healed? But what the scripture is saying to me is that that person is fulfilling some kind of special role within the body. And perhaps the idea is that it gives us an opportunity to exercise patience and compassion and care and healing and whatnot. So this is really challenging to me, but please disagree with me if you see fit. Do you think it's reasonable that someone may have a spiritual gift that they are vulnerable and need our love? Is that even possible? So those of us who feel vulnerable, I'll let that hang there for a minute. So, back to the scripture. So we carefully protect these parts, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. There's a huge rabbit trail there about how we think it's perfectly fine to beat up on church leadership because they're a more honorable part. But I won't go there because I don't want to embarrass anyone. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. Huh. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So the idea here is that whether your gift is vulnerable or to be vulnerable, or whether your gift is to be a leader or whatever, the gifts, as represented by parts of the body, manifest for the common good. Okay? One God, many gifts, many people. The people and their gifting recombine to the body of Christ for the good of the body, but not only the body, but for the community. Got that? It's pretty simple, really. Make sense? Gifts manifest for the common good. Okay, moving on in Corinthians. Now, we collectively are Christ's body, and individually we are members of it, each with our own special purpose and function. So, you know, for those of you at home, we've recombined the body parts back to Mr. Potato Head, and each one is labeled with a spiritual gift. So God has appointed and placed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third our teachers. I have no idea what the order means. I'm not going to talk about that today. Those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who can speak in unknown languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret tongues? According to Scripture, of course not. But in the moment, for the moment, as the Lord moves us, these abilities may manifest. And that's, again, we're going back to the idea of this series that Scott's got us in, where we're talking about gracelets and situational anointings. In your life of walking through ministry, you're not going to be all those things. eagerly desire what the Lord has for you, as opposed to trying to be a generalist who does everything. The gifts need each other. No one of us is all of those things at any one time. I mean, over the course of your life, you may manifest all of those gifts, but right now, at this moment, I can guarantee that no one person here is all those things. Does that make sense? Yet, in our illustration, Mr. Potato Head now represents the church, and I think he's doing a fine job. I'm proud of him in this case. The idea is that the body, the church, and real spirituality, deep spirituality, the kind of thing that changes the world, comes from combining, or the combined effort of the body of Christ, the combination of all the gifts working together. This creates community. So there are, I'm being careful because I don't want to beat up on any churches, but there are churches that might just be like, oh, we're a church that's all about healing. This is what that church looks like. Is that a complete body? Is that balance? If your gift is healing, are you presenting a complete ministry? No. If you believe in superstar Christians who stand up at a podium and hold a microphone to their chin like I'm doing right now, and they tell you about the great things they've done, are they the church? Who's the church? We are the church. Prophets need pastors. Administrators need servants. The gift of administration is the ability to look at a task and knit together a solution. Administrators may not necessarily be very good workers, so they need people with the gift of service to come alongside them. Our normal, this is beautiful, this is right out of the book too, Wynn's book. Our normal is subhuman in God's kingdom. What we consider supernatural is God's idea of normal. So many of us currently walk in our giftings without realizing it and probably shy away from some of the more esoteric, showy gifts, right? I'd like to do a little demo. This is unscripted, so it may fail miserably, but that'll be fun too. So one of the gifts that I manifest from time to time, as you may see, my obsession with healing ministry is like a healing thing. I don't know, healing, you know, laying on of hands. And Colleen, come up. Colleen has a specific type of gifting called a seer. So Colleen's the kind of person that if she's staring at you, she automatically makes you uncomfortable because you know that she's reading your mail. Now, we can all do this. We can all read mail. We can always look, we can look at somebody and go, how are you feeling today? And we already know, you know, that kind of thing. Colleen does this like crazy in a way that just blows my mind. When I pray with someone who has Colleen's type of gifting, it makes my job so much easier because she cuts through the fog and just sees stuff. The language she uses when she sees stuff is pretty abstract, but we'll kind of see what happens. So we thought what we'd do for fun today, because this is the Vineyard and we like to have fun, is we're going to bring someone up and pray for them in front of you. We'll just see how this goes. Yeah? And we have Barb has already volunteered. She hasn't been here in a while, so we thought, hey, let's bring her up in front of the whole church. So we're just going to demo this. This is unscripted. Anything that happens is happening because we're being led by the Lord to do it this way. So if nothing happens, God has decided to ignore us. But Jesus said we're three or more gathered, and there's more than three here, or two, is it two, that he's here also. So I have confidence that the Lord will speak through us today. Cool? Feel free to ask questions. So, I'm not going to go through all those things about prayer ministry, but generally, let's just assume Barb's come forward for prayer. Is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? Okay, we're polite. So, I'm going to ask Holy Spirit just come and bless this moment, and we're going to listen to what Colleen is seeing, okay?
Okay, what I'm seeing is a gray shadow over her head and with dark stripes. And so this is telling me that it could be a place where she's been, a place in the past that perhaps we could pray about. Or I see a streak of light coming out of her as well. So that means that Jesus is working on it. It's moving up into the gray areas.
How should I pray? I'm going to pray.
I would pray that Jesus come into that gray place to her.
Okay. So can you hold the mic while I pray? All right. So Holy Spirit, just come and step into Barb's mind and reality. Barb, can you just pray, Holy Spirit, come into my heart and mind?
Holy Spirit, come into my heart and mind.
Holy Spirit, in this moment, just come into Barb, and whatever this gray stuff is, Lord, I feel like it's a fog. So Jesus, just come in with your light and clear that fog. Fan that away.
It's a very bright light now.
Yeah, tell us what you're seeing.
I'm seeing a very bright light coming into the gray area. Mm. And that maybe this bright light often has to come into this gray area. This light is coming in to cover, heal, remove an anxiety or an oppression from the past, to give relief to her, and that maybe one day she can step in and speak to Jesus about this and ask him where it's coming from. And I see a presence of a spirit coming up and saying, I am from the past, and I'm going to release her. I'm going to release her now.
So Barb, can you just pray, Jesus?
Jesus.
Who do I need to forgive?
Who do I need to forgive?
So if you don't want to say the person out loud, are you feeling someone right now? Nothing's coming up? Okay, go. So just pray, Jesus.
Jesus.
In your name and in your grace.
In your name and in your grace.
I forgive.
I forgive.
Anyone.
Anyone.
Who has hurt me or caused this suffering or confusion.
Who has hurt me or caused this suffering or confusion.
Okay, so in Christ's name, I proclaim that Barb has forgiven this person or this situation. So, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, we cut into this moment and blow away the grayness and bring light into that. Bring light and healing into that, Lord. Bring clarity into her mind and reside in her consciousness, Lord. We just ask that cloud of confusion and any fear to just leave her heart, Lord. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I bless and anoint you with clarity. And I pray that this, whatever this weight was, would be lifted from you, and you would step out of that fear in that place and step into the light and the power of the Holy Spirit.
That that presence had stepped back. It was a familiar spirit from a long time ago. And sometimes that happens to us.
So Barb, do you feel any different?
Well, I can feel a spirit.
Good way?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. So are you feeling any lighter, any freer at this moment?
Maybe a little bit of lightness.
Yeah.
Phew, it's quite bright. Definitely feel the spirit.
So we'll finish praying for Barb later. So the point here is, how was that? How did that look? Well, did that look difficult? Colleen made it so much easier, right? Now, depending on where you are in your spiritual walk and how you feel about such things, you may write that off, or you may look at it and go, whoa. Curious though, how many people here think maybe while Colleen was praying that you thought, felt, saw, imagined something similar to what she was describing? Anyone? Yeah? Okay. So here's the thing. You see how many people put their hands up? See, this isn't like fiction. This is actually happening, right? And my point is, oh, by the way, any spirit of doubt that's harassing anyone in this congregation, Lord, we bind that and pull that out of them. Holy Spirit, come and fill them with your power and love in this moment. Because I know that there's some people going, uh-huh. Anyways, my point is, look at how easy the Lord shows up and empowers people. What is key here, I mean, apart from how cool it is to see something like that happen, is that her gifting and my gifting worked together for a more complete prayer. Now, something fairly complex came up, so it's a spiritual thing, so we will spend more time praying for her later. We don't want to, you know, it's going to take probably another 5-10 minutes to kind of walk her through some more complicated prayers and stuff. But it could have just as easily been someone coming forward with a sore shoulder or something else like that, and Colleen will look at it and say, I see this, and then like, okay, I know how to pray about that, and it kind of works together. Now, the theme today was the idea of loneliness and not being included in the church or in your life. The point of this demo, and the point of what I'm getting at today, one God, many gifts, many believers, one church, all are needed. So here's the key to what I'm trying to drive at here. I'm hoping I've convinced you to some degree that, yeah, spiritual gifts are real, they operate, and when they combine together, we have better results. George Esser in the Sarnia Vineyard famously said years ago, if you think your church sucks, you suck, because you are the church. When you engage with the idea of spiritual gifting, when you walk in your gifting, you become an integral, critical member of the church. The Lord has placed you in this body and has gifted you to be a member of this church and to operate and act within this church. So, to those of us who feel isolated in here, my challenge to you is to pray about, to step into, to consider what might be your spiritual anointing, what might be your spiritual gifting. And it can be very mundane. Like, I think the gift of administration is very mundane. I think it's like, you know, I can sort out business practices. But for the person who has that gifting, I've seen it operate, and it's I should stand up. It's amazing, right? So if you, yes, sir. Esser, George Esser, yes? Sarnia Vineyard, River City Vineyard. You should look him up. Yeah, you should. You guys would get along well together. Okay, cool. George is a cool guy. He runs the Sarnia Vineyard. He has a men's shelter. They do a lot there. One God, many gifts, many believers, one church, all are needed. That's my theme for today. So here's what I want to pray over you. Actually, why don't I just pray it? What am I doing? So Lord, just come and open up the hearts and minds of the believers and the people before us today, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to your presence. Holy Spirit, come. As an elder of the church, I speak the oil of anointing over everyone within my here today. And anyone listening to this recording later on, I pray, Holy Spirit, come into their hearts and minds. Connect their hearts and minds to their spirit and their soul. And I speak to their spirits and their soul, and I say, hear the Lord. Be open to the Lord. I speak to the critical, contradictory voice that would stop their spirituality, and I say, be silent. And in this moment, know that the Lord is with you, and the Lord has anointed you to do good works in his name and in his time, in your time, in his place. Pray that you would have the clarity to understand that you do belong here, that you are needed here, and that the anointing and the talents and the gifts and those things that excite you, that those things are needed in this body. I pray that you would have the courage to step up and to let yourself be seen and to walk in your anointing, or at least to act in your anointing, so that you become, every one of us, an important member of this church. You already are. You just need to walk in that. I bless you in Jesus' name to do that. Early in Corinthians, Paul says, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know I'm repeating myself. One God, many gifts spread upon many believers who through their gifting and through their anointing and through the love of Christ become one body. And he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ. You're all invited. I encourage you, I call you forward to step into your gifting, whether it's something as simple as service, which is a beautiful way of getting involved, or whether it's something more complex. Those of you who could see with your eyes and your imagination what Colleen was seeing, I think maybe you should think about that. I think maybe you need to think about, what else can I do? How can I pursue this? I give you permission within the body of the church, within reason, to step up and step out and try this stuff. And I give you permission to make mistakes, and I give you permission to fail. No one's going to judge you, but through this process, you may find your place and find out that you are not, in fact, isolated here. Cool? Those of you who would like to be prayed for, to maybe identify or nurse out what gifting you have, come forward for prayer. Those of you who have an idea of your gifting, pray that you'd be filled with the Spirit, and I pray that you'd have the boldness to pursue that. I'm going over time, so I'm cutting this short, but I want you to know that you have a place to exercise your gifting, that you belong here. Okay? We are, if nothing else, a church of oddballs. We are the church of misfit toys. We are the church of misfit toys. So you belong, you fit. And if you don't think you do, you just need a little bit of help finding your place. Amen. Have a lovely day. Love you all. Be blessed in Jesus' name. And we pray for Scott Rowe that he survives his lovely weekend of pain and exercise. Amen.